Coming up on tonight's edition of the F Factor. His name is Rio and he dances at the squad. The interesting life and times of Michael Owen. The fragility of human existence, aka McManaman's tackle on Hydara. Can Pope Francis relegate Villa? Why the fuck is he called Francis anyway? We tried to find 10 reasons to be a Wolves fan in these harsh times. And finally, Max Carnage and Bruce Swain are joined by our newest pundit, Tim Jung Il!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the F Factor podcast on a slightly delayed one on the 21st of March 2013. I am joined, as ever, by my... I say as ever, one of them has only joined me twice. But we'll start with our usual football analyst, Max Carnage. No new music for you this week. To be honest, I think that's my favourite music I've picked for you yet, so I thought I'd keep it.
I would agree with this.
It's more suitable for Tim when he was fixing that title.
It would be, this playing in the background, but instead, we have got a song for Tim. I'll go with this, but I'll play a different one for my own. Of course. One is indeed the loneliest number.
The last time this was played, I had this stuck in my head.
It's
for
a tune?
3 days. But it was stuck. All I had stuck in my head was, the loneliest number. And that was it. Yeah. Over and over again.
Yeah, but, you know, it could be worse tunes that stuck in your head.
There are a lot worse tunes to stuck in my head, but for 3 days it is.
I can think of plenty if I hadn't just thought up the new nickname right before we came on air.
Carly
Rae, I love that song. Well.
No.
I've got a dance to it and everything.
The Odd and Wingy tune.
Yeah.
Hey, this is crazy. I'm in your car park. Anyway, I think without further ado, there's a lot of things to dwell on this week, but particularly as we're a bit late. Really, before we focus on some of the more negative things, it's time to get a little sexual. Sexual points of the week we'll go with Tim Jung Il first.
I've got two. I'm always greedy when it comes to the sexual moments.
He does like two Yorkies.
Hey. One of them was Hazard's performance in general.
Yeah, he's...
I know, like, we talked about it before, and, like, Garnish said he was pretty disappointed with the way he performed since he'd been in England. But in that match, some of the things he did were...
Rather annoying, he seemed to have come of age in the United
He goes past players with ridiculous ease.
Yeah. No, it was like one point he had three players around him and he just got through. It's like brilliant. But then the other sexual moment, not a moment in particular, but Schwarzer's performance against Tottenham. He pulled off a couple of amazing saves, one in particular from Defoe, when he just spun, smacked it, and Schwarzer just somehow saved it.
You make yourself big in those situations.
You do.
That's exactly what he did.
Just like David De Gea.
From the man himself. Keepers! Don't do it again.
Why? Was it close to the microphone?
I might sample it and just play it.
You know those YouTube videos, 10 hours long?
Yeah,
10 hours of keepers.
Please don't tell me.
Is it just is the one, I think it's 10 hours of Tony Marbury playing saxophone?
Oh,
I think it's that.
Mr. Carnage, sexual moments of the week in review for you?
I didn't think there was a great football at the weekend.
No.
I'd probably say Fulham's performance in general. I actually watched the vast majority of that game. And they contained Spurs. Given the fact they were playing away, they probably could have won by one. I thought Fulham got their game plan absolutely spot on in that game, and it worked. And yeah, fantastic.
Not performance, but the main sexual moments for me the weekend, of course, was Wolverhampton Wanderers. victory. despite playing absolutely shite.
Special mention.
Special mention. Because actually, in this particular section of the show, that own goal.
Yeah, the own goal was amazing.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen.
The best
football.
Part of the own goal is the incident which happened at half time as
a
result.
Carlo Kane punched the wall.
And he punched the tactics board.
That is it, so.
And because it's a piece of cardboard, and behind the piece of cardboard, cleverly, is a metal pole, he punched the metal pole.
Footballers, this is.
This is true. It wasn't the brightest of moves.
I just don't understand what he was doing when that ball came back to him.
the way the ball came back,
it's almost as if he saw the ball coming and thought, oh no, he's going to hit me, I'll open my legs.
Yeah, true.
I genuinely don't get it. It's like he lifted his foot to, like, you know, or just let it hit his thigh. So
he just
opened
sort up.
Of like.
Well, the as my friend said, it was a bit harsh on him, the whole Saunders having a massive go at him, because he's been one of our best players.
Oh, of course,
players.
Yeah, you know, the keeper's make mistakes. You know, it's a bad one, but it does happen.
Yeah, and it's like, it does seem a little bit harsh to have such a go at him. But
you know what? The best thing about it was, if you watch it, the ball comes and the own goal happens, and he turns around and he looks at, like, I think it was David Davies, as if to say, what are you doing? What are you doing?
This is true.
I can't remember.
Fair enough. It was not the best back pass in the world.
The pass was a little awry, but
I mean,
still.
This is a professional footballer, professional goalkeeper.
Oh, no, yeah.
I need to find out.
But although, I'm not going to slag him off too much, because bless him, Carly Kamey, one of my friends when he was younger, met him in Oceania,
for those unfamiliar with Wolverhampton area,
exactly.
A poor nightclub that is now closed.
Yeah, and he ended up buying my friend and a couple of his friends drinks, and then walked home with them.
Oh, bless him! What a gentleman!
Which I thought was fantastic.
Was he keeping them safe? I'm trying to remember a quote. Steve Ball, I believe it is, has said. I could understand the frustrations and anger that he would have felt about everything, but he was being silly because his hands are the tools of his trade, and it's now cost him.
That doesn't sound like something.
Well, clearly the feet aren't the tools of his trade.
No. But yeah, I think that's we've got a bit to get through, so I think that's enough on it's sexual. Mm-hmm. Where do we want to start? We'll go with one that I didn't mention in the intro, I just realised, the Blackburn saga.
Yes.
I did used to have some music queued up for Blackburn, which was originally going to be a theme tune to Goodness Gracious Me. and then was also... Then I thought about doing the Knight Rider Bangra thing. Yeah. But I thought, it doesn't matter, I don't need that, because they're not... We don't really talk about anything outside the Premiership, so we're not going to talk about them. How wrong I was.
you know what music you should have used? The music from that Venky's Chicken Blackburn where they're all in the changing rooms eating the chicken.
Yeah, I need to follow that.
That's brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic.
Either that or some faint chance of robot chicken or something. Robot chicken.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't, anyway. So Michael Appleton has been sacked.
67 days was it in charge? 15 games?
Was, yes.
If that's right.
15 games in charge, I know that.
Research Monkey actually does some research.
I'll be quite impressed if you are right on that. So, but no, Appleton, I never really saw why he was appointed anyway. He's got a win ratio across his career of less than 30%. Yes, he was at Portsmouth for a long time, which we're always going to be doing poorly.
It's always going to be the right time for anybody who's managing Portsmouth.
Well, there was when Harry was there, because, you know, he could set up accounts in the name of his dog and all kinds of stuff like that.
Rosie's dog.
Yeah, Rosie 127 or whatever it was.
There's got to be a Twitter handle for Harry Redknapp's dog.
There's probably
to be.
There was one of the Swansea ball boys within minutes of the house heading to.
But he was on Twitter anyway. His real one.
yeah, but it wasn't really
there was the real guy.
The real guy.
Yeah,
but there was also
the defense.
There was a number of Swansea ball boys that just popped up.
And so in relation to why he became manager, it's quite obvious. Because Henning Berg didn't want to dance. They said to him at the Christmas party, they said, "You've got to do a dance or a song or something," and he freaked out. He flipped out and just kicked off.
Why should a Champions League winner like Henning Berg have to dance for a bunch of chicken people?
Have you not seen the episode of The Simpsons when they fall down in like through the trapdoor and they're all sitting around going, "Dance, dance, dance, dance"?
Yeah.
That's what happens. But
has that got anything to do with this?
Yes.
Okay. Can I just interject here and just say, you know what? What are they doing? They haven't got a clue what they're doing.
No, they haven't played.
They're just completely ruining a football club because, you know what? We've got some money. Let's go out and ruin a football club. Let's go in there. Let's sack a manager who was going to keep them in the Premier League because we think we can get the Champions League football by signing Ronaldinho and appointing Steve Keane. I'm not gonna knock Steve Keane too much.
No, I
just think he what you're supposed to do in that situation. And I think he kept his
dignity.
I really do think the Blackburn fans were vile.
Yeah, vile to him,
and it was out of order. However, okay, if you're gonna stick with him. And then he takes you down, and then you say, "Okay, we're going to stick with you." And you're third in the championship. Why'd you sack him? You don't sack him
because they wanted to be 18th.
Clearly,
evidently,
with 46 points.
So almost the same route as Wolves.
They actually, Blackburn have the second to worst record in the championship in their last 10 games with 10 points from 10 games. Propped up only by Wolverhampton with a record of 9
so,
points in
so far
games.
On three,
we
three
that,
reasons
that
to support
oh,
so far.
We're not there yet. No, I'm down if you get more reasons.
I'm trying to think of the ones we've had so far.
Well, you'll have to think on your feet.
I can't
But yeah, he's their, what is he, fourth manager technically? Or third?
Yeah,
no, he's third manager this season.
He's technically
fourth.
Fifth.
No, fifth.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
So you had Steve Keane start off, Eric, who lasted.
Eric Black, yeah.
Well, Steve Keane had a record of 4 wins, 2 draws, and 2 losses from 8 games. Eric Black, 2 wins, 3 draws, 1 loss. Henning Berg, 1 win, 3 draws, 6 losses. Gary Bowyer, 3 wins, 1 draw, no losses. And Appleton, 4 wins, 5 draws, 6 losses. So
that's Gary Bowie
again,
is it?
Yeah, it's Gary Bowie again.
He said he doesn't want the job.
Chevy Singh is very keen on.
I bet
Gary
Bowie, because Chevy Singh is pretty much using that club to get into football for me.
I heard an interview with him, and he was hilarious. Man, he was just absolutely crazy. He's just like the fact that him. And I forget his name now. The other Derek, is it some Derek Shaw? Is the other guy in charge there? Well, not in charge, but they don't speak to each other at all.
Really?
And, Gary Shaw appointed Michael Appleton, and Chevy Singh sacked him.
Oh god!
But
it's like a school play.
Yeah, passing notes to each other and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I have no idea who they're going to replace him with. Max was obviously delighted to learn that Matt Smith of the Doctor fame.
Yes, he slated him, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
His exact words were, "It's an absolute farce, a joke. It's been run by complete numpties. Great players, great team, great club, and those Burks have ruined it."
Great use of the word numpty.
And if that comes from the Doctor, then it's got
to
be true.
And obviously, he's going to travel forward in time to see what happens, and he can't be good.
Exactly. He probably knows what's. You know.
He knows their Burks because he's seen it.
They're all going to be turned
but, history
into
can be
based goods.
Time can be rewritten. So it's okay.
Of course,
mm-hmm. Indeed. But yeah, that's very enough about Blackburn. I think what we'll actually move on to next is Callum McManaman and the FA saga.
The great FA saga.
Max. We'll open up to you because I feel you have some particularly strong views on this subject.
Yeah, I Yeah, I do have strong views.
I wonder if there is a strongest nine on another.
Do you
subject?
Want me to start with the tackle, the FA, Callum McManaman himself?
From the moment
what did you think when you saw the tackle? You were talking to me on Twitter?
Absolute shocker.
Do you think he meant it?
Yes.
When I
say meant it, I don't think he probably meant the severity of it. Mm. I think he's gone in thinking, I'm going to leave something on him.
Mm.
And that's where it starts. Mm. That's the kind of thing. We've mentioned Stoke before, but this is why I don't like Tony Pulis. He's one of these managers. No one can tell me otherwise. I'm not having it. Mm. Basically, he's one of these managers who sends his players out and say, go in hard.
Yeah.
Go in hard, leave something on them, let them know you're there. And that's the kind of mentality that creates tackles like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Ryan Shawcross, we saw it with Aaron Ramsey. Okay, and Ryan Shawcross, I don't think he's a nasty player at all. I don't, but he's gone in. He's gone in hard, probably because his manager's told him to, and he's ended up breaking.
Do you think Martinez would have told him to?
No, I don't.
No,
I don't think he would. I don't think he would have done. But I think he's. It's just with McManaman. He's thought, you know, this is how he's young and this is how football is. I've got to show my worth. I've got to put myself about.
I'm going to go in hard
and leave something on him. I'm going to try and win the ball and leave something on him so he doesn't come back again. It's quite a common thing. And you hear a lot of managers in grassroots football say that, you know, go in hard, leave something on him, he won't come back again.
Mm.
So I think that's what he's tried to do. But that tackle is a shocker.
It's a leg
breaker. It could have ended his career.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't think he intended to go in as hard as he did.
No,
but he always, like you say, he meant to leave something on him, but his foot was way too high.
Yeah,
way too high, and for that reason alone, the referee. I've seen like the footage of where the referee was, and the referee couldn't have seen it. Linesman on the other
hand. Linesman blatantly could have seen it.
There's like pictures everywhere of it, and he can see clearly what's happened. Even if he thinks he hasn't got him, it's a high foot.
Mm.
That's what I was thinking about earlier. Why wouldn't he have given the free kick? Maybe he didn't see exactly when the leg hit. Maybe he thought that
he had gone down easy. He's just passing the responsibility. He didn't want to take responsibility.
Yeah.
Basically, that's it's
that's what
it
was down to.
Now, if we move on to the FA,
I just point out today that how do you say his name? He has called the decision by the FA not to punish McManaman as ridiculous.
Pathetic, actually, is my choice of the thing is, yeah, I understand the rule, and the rule is basically, and all the clubs agreed to this at the start of the season, that if an official sees the incident and deems that no action needs to be taken at that point of time, they can't re-referee the incident later.
Yeah,
I can pick holes in this. I can pick a lot of holes in
this. Well, the main hole I would say in it is the fact that the FA aren't allowed to re-referee things. At least the referee saw it and the referee didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, no, it's the rule isn't official, which is fair enough. Okay, you've got your rules. Okay, you officials didn't see anything. Yeah. Okay, one official saw something, the others didn't. So because the official saw it, we can't go back and re-referee it because we're not allowed to re-referee. So, if you take someone who got sent off, let's say, was it Figueroa earlier in the season against Newcastle?
Yeah.
Wrongly sent off. And then they asked the referee to have another look. Did he think it was a red card? Could it be rescinded?
Hmm.
Yes, red card was rescinded. So, is that not re-refereeing the situation?
When they look at like
positive
a red
discrimination.
Card.
Exactly. Now, the problem with the Callum McManaman tackle is what you are saying with some of the other tackles that we've seen for red cards, yeah? Let's take... I probably shouldn't go here. But let's take Johnny Evans and John Joe Shelby.
Yeah.
In that game.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think now that either player went in to hurt... Well, I didn't think anyone went in to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was dangerous. It's a bit, you know... that's by the by.
Yeah.
But was that tackle worse than Callum McManaman? No. No, you know, that was a genuine attempt for the ball.
That was two
okay.
players going in for the
okay.
ball. They can't say
again,
that
again, I'm only going off things I've seen. And you're going to go for me now for bringing it up. But Nani in the Champions League,
yeah.
was that tackle worse than Callum McManaman? He's going to miss games
oh,
now.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
going to miss games now. And Callum McManaman gets away with it.
Yeah.
Now, what we're saying, what the FA is saying, you know what? If it's not spotted,
hmm.
or if we don't see it, or if the, you know, then you know it's okay to do that. That's the marker they're setting here.
Yeah, I sort of agree.
And the problem is they can't hide behind the fact that an official's seen it, because if that official has seen that tackle and
doesn't think it's a foul,
he should not be employed.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
So now, effectively, I think the FA have got to make a decision to, might be a bit harsh to say, sack that linesman. They've got to have some sort of punishment.
Because what they're saying is he saw it and he didn't say.
Because what?
But if you look at like
the FA
are
saying,
the
FA are saying that he saw that tackle. Okay, they're not saying that he saw an incident.
Hmm.
They're saying he saw
yeah.
that tackle and he didn't deem it a foul.
Yeah,
he didn't even deem it a foul.
No.
So if you've got an official working for you who doesn't deem that tackle a foul, that official is not doing his job properly.
Hmm.
And I don't mean to go for officials.
No,
I know. But at that point in time, you needed a strong linesman who was going to take responsibility of the situation.
Hmm.
And he didn't.
He didn't even put his flag up
to say, hang on, Mark, that's a foul there. I don't know if you...
It should have at least been a high foot free kick. Because obviously it's not high for his head, anything like that, but he's nowhere near like foot level, shin level, nothing like that.
You could hear the scream on TV.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You heard the scream when it hit him.
And he was down for head on, got stretched off. And
yeah,
still.
You know what's even funnier? Actually, I don't know if anyone actually noticed this. Callum McManaman goes and puts in that tackle, yeah.
Mm.
Gets straight back up, runs off to put in the next tackle, and then blatantly handballs it. And yes, a free kick was given, but it literally his hands were here and he went like that. That's a yellow card, and he wasn't even punished for that.
He's a lucky boy, clearly.
I do have to say, I don't know if you guys heard, but the day after they had Graham Pohl on TalkSport. What? I'm gonna have to swear. What a prick!
It has been said before.
He came on and he said basically that Mark Halsey, they said should he have done better, and he was like yes, and they said well why, he said well he should have been in a better position.
Mm.
He shouldn't be, you know what his exact words were, he shouldn't be in a position where a player can get in his way. Now he's got himself in a perfect position to see that tackle.
Mm.
For me, I thought he was perfectly positioned.
Mm.
And I don't really think he put a foot wrong in that game as a referee. Mm. And a player has literally run across his path.
Yeah, at
it's
the point.
It's never going to happen.
There's nothing that he could have done.
And for Graham
Pohl
to come on and slay, this is a man who gave three fucking yellow cards before sending a guy off in a World Cup.
Yeah, that's true. It's a very good point, actually. No.
Sorry, but that angered me. Mark Halsey is one of my
favourite
referees.
Yeah, I love Mark
Halsey. A couple of people will have a laugh at this with me being a United fan, but Mark Halsey, I think, is a good referee. Mark Clattenburg,
mm.
I do think he's a very good referee,
yeah.
despite everything, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, what's his name? Howard Webb is a good referee.
Howard Webb's a pretty good referee.
Although I do think he botched that far.
He
bottled it basically
in
that final. But it wasn't exactly an easy football match to referee.
No.
But for Graham Pohl, for him to come on and say that, I mean, Pete Schmeichel said it best. I was watching this thing with Pete Schmeichel the week ago. He said he hated Graham Pohl because he thought he was like one of the lads. He thought he was like best friends with all the players. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, having listened to him on the radio, what a fucking plum.
like the little old guy who runs the Gazagroff Gangs. Is he one of the lads? Well, I think
which one?
The little old ref who was there when I went.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're on about. No, he's sounding delightful.
I like him. He's a good ref.
He's so arrogant, though, Graham Paul.
We should have a section about Graham Paul one time.
We'll talk about refs another time. I think, without further ado, it's time to move on to a segment about a man that we all know. He's an England, sometime England international. He dances on the sand. And in part honour of him, because of how he must be feeling right now, and because of Tim, I've got a little bit of music.
I'm so lonely.
Are you Romery?
I'm very Romery.
I'm a bit Rio's a little bit Romery at the moment. Rio Ferdinand, of course, got called up to the England squad. Not as first choice, obviously. Then decided to bottle it for his nation. Then decided to line his own pockets by going to commentate on a game over in Qatar, because obviously flights are good for people with back problems.
It's all part of his training regime.
I know, yeah. It's just an interesting training regime.
Max is on his hair right now.
On his salary, it's the one you can kind of afford, isn't it? Flying jets everywhere, putting your back out. But yeah, no, in all seriousness, Rio was picked. It was all a bit of a
picked for footballing reasons this time, I believe.
He was picked for, I believe, he was. He was apparently playing well, according to Warren. And yeah, he decided that unfortunately his regime that he has to undertake at his age of 33, 34, to prolong his career, like Ryan Giggs and other Man United players, came first. And but he's still available for selection, is what he would like to tell everybody. Now, Roy Hodgson has come out today and said that he was... I love it when they use the put in headlines, Hodgson coy about Ferdinand Fitch. It's like, ooh, look at the old girl.
It's just... You see, everyone listening is not going to know that you did like this little finger thing by your hand.
The great Cthulhu.
Basically, Hodgson would not commit to whether Rhea had an England future, which I would probably say means that it's unlikely, particularly as come the World Cup, he'll be 35 and he won't have played tournament football for 8 years.
See, I was actually... As a Liverpool fan, I was actually looking forward to seeing Rio back in the England team.
I wasn't.
I was on a basis, besides the fact that John Terry's a massive douche, I think he's a better footballer, Rio's a better footballer than John Terry, when obviously he's not got a bad back. And I can, you know, I can sympathise. I can sympathise with a bad back. I too had to retire from football at the early age of 26. Due to a back injury.
what level of football was this, Tim?
It was seven a side kickabout at goals.
I think
football.
A mission should be to get you back in shape to play for the Castlecroft Reserve.
It's not a question of shape, it's a question of...
It certainly is a question of shape.
It doesn't matter, though. If either me or you got into great shape and we were amazing at football, Max wouldn't pick.
Why not?
If we were in reserves, we might get a shot.
Why not? Because you blatantly wouldn't. Are you telling me that if you were both like super fit and amazing at football, I wouldn't?
No. The amazing at football fit bit, we know that's not going to happen. The super fit part,
yeah, but
there's potential.
That was the. No, there isn't, Tim. Look at you.
He's a burning hunk of man.
I like to be warm in the winter. That's why I have...
Like that. A seal.
Exactly.
Are you storing
like a seal? Yeah, I'm preparing for next winter.
Okay. Of course, I'm picking what...
I don't buy that you'd pick. I don't at all. I think there'd be some excuse.
Like?
It'd be like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to give examples of managers. I don't know.
He's too coy to pick you.
Mark. Like, Mark McGee not picking Dougie Friedman. But that was, I think, because he was shagging his wife. but anyway,
Rio.
Thoughts? You digress.
I think that he's a better footballer than John Terry when he's obviously not got the back injuries, but it was just...
He's more
like when I used to watch football when I was younger, I remember, which may come onto another subject later, I remember being in France 98, I was in France for the World Cup, and around that time and that era just afterwards there was a great belief in the England team, and Rio coming back almost signified that. Nowhere near as good a calibre of players in my opinion as there was back then, but you know, it was like a little bit of belief about people, I thought, and he's dropped out.
I thought we were scraping at the ground where the barrel used to be.
You clearly don't watch football.
I don't watch enough football, but I
no.
cannot stand Rio.
This is the problem. You can't base. Every time I've asked you this, you don't have a reason.
He is a traitor to our nation.
He is a member of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take him away.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's what should happen to Rio Ferdinand.
Look. Rio Ferdinand, I'm a big fan of Rio Ferdinand. I follow him on Twitter. I think he's an exceptional footballer. I think he gets a bad rep from a lot of people who just want to dig into Rio Ferdinand for some reason.
Because he's a disgraceful human being.
Why?
Because listen to what he spouts after a game. He hasn't got any class, man.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, he does charity stuff. He's got
none. How much charity stuff have you done?
Oh, yeah, I think you're fine.
He gave 18 pounds to Football versus Homophobia.
No, I haven't yet. because I don't know what I'm going to do, I need to sort it out. I gave £2 to somebody the other day for a cake at work. It might have been because I wanted them, you know. But and then I gave £2 to a girl that I didn't want to.
It's irrelevant whether you think he's a nice guy, whether you think he's a douche, or
from
whatever.
From a footballing point of view,
he is the best central defender England have at the minute. No, you can't disagree because it's a fact.
It's
a Max's opinion.
It's a fact, okay? So we're going to go on the basis that it is a fact, okay? Now, he should have been in that England squad. He should have been in that England squad for the Euros.
No.
It's quite clear why he wasn't in the England squad for the Euros.
That's his own.
Okay. No, it's not.
If he can get...
It's his brother's fault.
No, it's not. It's the person's fault who was in the England squad. That's whose fault it was. It's that simple, okay? Now, Roy Hodgson made his decision. Fine. I always back my country. I always follow my country, okay? Whatever I say about Rio Ferdinand being a great player and me being a big fan of his, I have to say I was incredibly disappointed with him.
Good!
It really upset me.
He's a traitor!
Yeah, I was that disappointed that I actually tweeted him to tell him how disappointed I was.
Like a concerned parent.
Yes.
I'm not angry with Rio.
Exactly. I couldn't contain my rage about the whole situation. So you know what, Rio, I'm gonna have to tell you how I feel, along with
you were incapacitated,
along with 5,000 other people.
Say half of the football.
But you know
community.
What? You know what? I said my piece. I do think he should be playing for England, and I hope he gets selected next time, and I hope he's learned a lesson, I hope he plays for England in the World Cup.
I don't think he's done it because of a training regime. I think he has done it as a two fingers to Roy.
I think he's done it because he's thought San Marino, Montenegro, I don't want to play in those games. I want to play in the big games personally.
But
he's
been out for how long?
Yeah.
He needs to get.
I don't think you can throw this training regime at us and we're going to buy it, because he wouldn't have played against San Marino. So there you go. He's already had a week off.
Yeah.
And then he would have played against Montenegro, which is when we needed him. So
that's a must-win game.
So you've got 10 days he can relax and ease his back into it. Are the England medical staff are going to be as good as the Manchester United medical staff, aren't they?
He's like, you know, he's,
and they
he's playing how many games at the moment for United?
Exactly. And then, you know, okay, yeah, we may need him on the Saturday against, I can't remember who it is we were playing at the moment, but, you know, it, Tuesday to Saturday, okay, you've got 3.5, 4 sort of days.
Yeah.
But, to be perfectly honest, we've got Vidic, Smalling, Jones will be back from injury, I believe. Johnny Evans has been playing fantastic. We are 15 points clear at the top of the league. I mean, would it really be that much of a problem for him to play one game for England against Montenegro? That's what's disappointed me. I'm not having the training regime.
So I think what we've successfully agreed is that Rio Ferdinand is a traitor to his nation.
No,
Max Carnage, a Manchester United fan, agrees with me.
No, no. Hang on.
What?
That's slander.
Moving on. We move on to an interesting, almost philosophical topic, which is, can the Pope relegate Aston Villa?
I don't think they can relegate themselves. It was a question posed to us by a friend of mine who wondered if the Pope could have a word with God and see if Aston Villa could be relegated. And the reason why is because I believe he is a Birmingham City fan.
I'll answer this for you. No, because God doesn't exist. Move on to the next
one. That was my answer.
I did say to him, I'm
he took it from me.
I have been tweeting old Pope Ben, as I call him now.
Why is he called Francis? Why can't he be called?
Why is
know,
he called Francis the
Angelo
First?
Or whatever.
I don't know where these names come from.
It's silly.
But why
isn't
is he called Francis the First?
Because there's not been a Pope.
So
Francis
he should be
before.
Francis. There's
he
no Francis the
Pope
Second.
Francis. Yeah,
yet.
I agree.
Pull
you
your finger
a,
out, Vatican. Sorty.
You'd be Tim Beddoes, and if you had a surname, it'd be Tim Beddoes
the Second. He would be. I'd be Tim Beddoes the First or Tim Beddoes
the
Senior.
Yeah, but would you stick to convention like that, or would you? You're not. Called
I just
Tim
wouldn't.
Beddoes
I wouldn't name
first.
My child after me. I wouldn't be that bellish.
On this Pope thing, I was having a discussion with some people at work not long ago, and one was saying going on about how they're an atheist, and the other one's a Roman Catholic, heritage from Ireland, and the atheist. Turned round to the Roman Catholic and said, "What, so you believe in the Pope?" And he turned round and said, "Well, he is real."
Yeah.
That's the one part of the Catholic
does
Church
exist.
We can agree on.
Some people who have the same religious convictions of me appall me. We're going to move on to we'll go on to the interesting career of Michael Owen.
I think he could have played a lot longer, but then when you look at the way that he went through on that last team, he really should have pulled out earlier.
He's amazing, isn't he? I was going to say jokingly, but I suppose it's quite not true. England legend Michael Owen. I would say he's an England legend.
He is an England legend.
This was another question that was raised, whether or not he was an England legend.
I would say he's an England legend.
He's
scored 40 in 89 games, which
had,
is for any
yeah,
international
yeah.
striker is not bad.
And
at
the age that he was doing it from.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, if it wasn't for injuries, he'd still
he
be playing
be,
for England now,
yeah.
and he'd probably have scored another 15, 20 goals.
More.
Yeah.
If he wasn't for injuries, he would not have ended up at a club like Stoke.
I still can't believe he ended up.
No.
You know what? If I was Michael Owen and the only offer I had on the table was Stoke, I'd have retired.
I'd say,
you know what? You know what, Tony Pulis? No, I'm not lowering myself to your level.
But he wouldn't lower himself. He said he wouldn't play outside the top flight.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I find interesting about that is
I would rather play for Yeovil than
surely
Stoke
you'd rather
if
play,
Michael
you'd play for like if you played for top championship side got game all the time
yeah.
but
you've got the potential
strange
to get
strange
back
decision.
Into the Premier League and be in the top flight again but
he played for a number of clubs, two of which are supported in this room. He scored 158 and 297 for Liverpool between 96 and 2004. And later in his career joined Manchester United between 2009 and 2012, played a mere 52 games but scored 17 goals.
And More importantly, won the Premier League title with Manchester United.
He did
United.
Win the Premier League title with Manchester United.
How's that make you feel, Tim?
He won a bench warmers medal.
He didn't. He's got. It's an actual medal. You know that one that Steven Gerrard doesn't have?
Look, our time will come. In Brendan we trust.
I don't think your time is going to come. Not anytime
definitely
soon.
Grim, nah.
No, it will come eventually, but not while...
I don't think I'm going to be...
Rather joyously, not while Steven Gerrard's at the club.
If by the age of 36 he hasn't won it, he can leave. He can. I'll allow him.
He won't leave because he's stupid.
He is.
He
he's
has
not
morals.
Stupid. He's just too loyal, isn't he, basically?
Mm.
But yeah, I think we all agreed Michael Owen was an England legend.
Yeah.
They
were referring to
he does
France 98. The
Argentina guy.
I remember that goal, but you know, I actually cheered more at the time. Not a lot of people probably remember the game before that. We ended up losing 2-1 to
Romania.
We conceded a very late goal, but he equalised with 12 minutes left. And then he hit the post, and I went mental when he scored that goal.
Right, cause I was in,
and we ended up going on and losing the game.
I think it was a mistake.
If I remember rightly, it was a mistake by Graham Lasso that cost us.
Yeah. I was in France at the time.
Yeah.
I remember
for
the Argentina.
He's quite a good
voice
on Radio 5 as well, right? Graham Lasso.
I have noticed, yeah.
For the Argentina match, I was in Disneyland Paris with school. I was a mere 12 years old.
I was at home, and my mum had to console me as I cried real tears when David Batty missed the penalty. Not as many tears as when Gareth Southgate missed a United.
That was gutting.
That was possibly the worst feeling I've ever had in football.
The next day at school, people were like, and I say people, I was nearly still in tears. The next day at school, I was that gutted for Euro 96. France 98 was worse. Because you had the England fans on one side, and then behind us you had the Argentina fans, so we had to walk past them to get back to our lodge.
No.
So as we were walking back, whilst there was like three or four of us, and we were crying as we were walking, we were singing, we're going home, England's going home, just as a middle finger to the damn Argentines.
It's just weird how you were at Disney, because, I mean, I watched the game at home, but about 3 days later I went to Florida, and I remember seeing the fact that France had won the final 3-0 on a notice board outside an old English pub, matey, in Epcot Centre. That's the only way, because nowhere had the game on, so
nowhere had the final.
Yeah, but I was walking around Epcot Centre at Disney.
I'd still expect somewhere to have the world.
Was soccer cool then, though?
But yeah, and also it wasn't really like the days of like big HD tellies and stuff.
David Beckham wasn't a...
Football has always been called to people who like football.
I'm on about soccer here though, Max. We were in America, if you remember properly. Soccer wasn't cool because David Beckham wasn't there.
But anyway.
Or Robbie Keane.
Speaking of Beckham, I bought his aftershave today. Very nice.
Unbelievable.
Get the fuck out of
here. It's really nice.
Unbelievable, Jeff.
It's only 15 quid.
You're not allowed to speak for the rest of the podcast. Anyway, it's time to move on to a particular section that isn't on the sheet of paper in front of you. There he is.
That's made sense. It's right there. It's written down.
Alright, okay.
Big letters as well. It's capitals.
So, grassroots section, mainly over to Max Connage.
Yeah, weather, fucking do one.
It's gonna snow over the weekend. Not gonna play through that.
I haven't played for two weeks.
You pansies won't even play in the rain.
I haven't played for 2 weeks. We're not gonna play this Saturday because it's gonna snow. And our pitch is. It's finished. I had to go to a meeting on Monday night, which is part of the reason we didn't do this on Monday night, to arrange our midweek fixtures, which I didn't really want to go. It was actually rather pleasant meeting the people from the other teams and all that. And I had to arrange 8 midweek fixtures between now and the 1st of May. 1 week, I'm playing, basically, the fixture pile-up is so condensed. Hectic, yeah, and condensed, yeah, two good words.
Good words.
Yeah. We're going to be playing 5 games in 8 days.
Jesus Christ.
Now, professional footballers moan when they have to play 3 games in 8 days and they get paid £50,000 a week. We have to pay to play. We also have to go to work in the day. And we're playing a Saturday, a Monday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, and then a Saturday again?
The Wednesday, yeah. Then the
yes,
Thursday.
Yeah, we've got to do 2 games in 2 days.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's going to be a killer, but all my lads are up for it.
So, really, there are no results to report?
Caulfield Rangers, who are top of our league, pretty much won a title decider.
I'm going to say they're not 3-1. Top of the league, they're pretty much won
yeah,
the league.
Yeah, it's pretty. They beat Handsworth 3-1, and that's over now, I think. They can mathematically be called.
Well, one thing I think we've never expanded on is where are you in the league?
We are currently 6th.
Out of?
Or 7th out of 13.
That's about halfway.
Potential to finish 4th, I think.
So you're.
No, I think it's more than that. It's 14.
So you're. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Top half.
But then again, most people have played about 18, 19 games. We've played 13. So we've got some points to.
So you could say you're the Swansea of your league.
I suppose. Yeah.
Swansea.
I'm happy with that.
I was hoping Stoke were further up the table. Obviously, Stoke have gone down to 11.
You know those recording shades? They're very pleased that Stoke won't
But other than that, it's not really that much to cover. I feel on grassroots, given that you haven't played football.
Yeah, well.
There's been talk about new kits. There's been all kinds of Twitter debates about.
Yeah, I'm hopefully. No, it's not going to be me. But I am hopefully going to get the two prima donnas, John Brennan and Chris Collins, to model the kit.
Oh dear!
In proper Towie fashion.
Also, to those without orange skin. But yeah, so you were mentioning, was it Macca Sports?
Macca Sports, yeah. At Macca Sports, please do follow him on Twitter. Please go and get your stuff from him. Because I rang him, basically. I spoke to him on Twitter a couple of months back, and I really wanted a particular pair of boots. He ordered them in for me, put them behind the counter, and said, I'll save these for you, don't worry about it. And I rang him the other morning when I got my bonus and just said, okay, I want to order my boots. And I ended up having a half an hour chat with him. He's top bloke. I ordered them yesterday. Well, paid for them yesterday. They arrived today. They're a fantastic pair of boots.
There's a lovely picture on Twitter.
And he does all our team wear and everything. And he's a top chap. So if you're going to get your football equipment, your boots, your pads, your gloves, whatever, go to Macca. He's the man.
Excellent stuff. I think how far are we coming up to here? We're at 48 minutes, so yeah, I think we've got a little bit left at the end of the show, because Tim Jong-il has been noting down more reasons whilst we've been discussing.
Yes.
We've come on to that section that is find 10 reasons to continue to support Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Okay. Let me just quickly load up the old.
I'll be honest. I came up with one whilst we were discussing, and I believe Max can sympathise with this one, which is they're not Stoke City.
It's very good.
When some of my Wolves supporting friends went to the Britannia back when they were in the Championship. As the coach pulled up outside, it was playing Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, and the irony of that statement from a man who lived in Stoke for 3 years is very.
I don't think when they were writing the song Guns N' Roses that they were really thinking.
No,
about
no, no. Well, Slash
Stoke.
Was. I mean, Slash was from was it Burs?
Yeah,
somewhere
yes.
in Stoke, but he only lived there for like a year or two. What else
okay.
do we have?
The 3 reasons which I came up with earlier is you live next door to the Molyneux, so it's
yeah.
easy, you might as well carry on. You've got a free season ticket.
Okay.
Yeah. Enough. And your father's Dean Saunders.
So
interesting.
We're up to four.
Four. We've got.
We've got the Stoke.
You're nearly better than Blackburn in the last 10 games.
We aren't run by.
Venkies.
I was going to say chicken farmers, but I think they're actually the farmers. They're just
chicken farmers.
So it's that six or seven.
I'm sorry.
You get to watch hilarious own goals.
Yeah,
that one's up there. I mean, if you're going to lose, or I mean, I know they didn't lose that game, but if you're going to concede a goal,
that's the way to do it.
It's like my strategy when playing the computer game Worms. I'd rather not just go for the obvious bazooka kill. At least if I'm going to kill someone, try and make it hilarious. It might go wrong and not all work.
you know what? My cousin is a fucker on that game. You know what he does? I know. But let's just go with it. You know what he does? He waits till he's got one worm left and then he burrows down into the ground and then puts girders all around
that's
him so you can't get to him.
Yeah,
that's the right way to play.
Yeah.
And he always saves himself an airstrike so he can get me.
It's a slight tangent here, but I managed to get into a work team meeting today, Football Manager, because we were talking about different ways of graphing things out for MI purposes and all this. And somebody suggested a spider plot, and they're like, oh, have you seen this before? And I went, yeah, I've seen it before. They had that on Football Manager and on Pro Evo, and it used to confuse me to the point where I just turned it back onto the stats instead when they were coloured different colours.
Did it confuse you more than one of Tim's process maps?
Hey, leave those alone.
Look,
they're good process maps.
Does this conversation add value? No.
It's waste.
More reasons.
The reason I just thought of, if the team are losing at half time, you can go and do your weekly shop next door.
You can go to Asda next door.
It's a good one.
Even if it's a night game, because it's open 24
hours.
Yeah.
So that's more of an Asda shopping point. But if you're a Wolves fan, carry on supporting them.
Indeed.
It's going to be eight.
Oh, they've got a new stand.
Yes.
A nice, shiny new stand.
With a nice museum.
Yeah.
So if they're that bad, you can pop downstairs to the museum now.
Yeah, true. You I don't know.
You can get married there. There are actually a lot of reasons to
you
support
can get
Wolves.
Married at the morning.
Yeah, you can.
We
know somebody who
the
is.
The greatest wedding reception I ever saw was being held at Strikers Bowling place, which we got there and we were like, oh, the hell, man, this is busy. And then the second thought was, Jesus, this place stinks of BO. And there was a really classy wedding reception on the go there. And as they had the
music. How classy was it?
They had the music on the dance floor and they put the liquidator on and it played along. And the DJ went, now everybody, don't swear. And then he said, fuck off, West Brom! With everybody. That were world in big ways.
Kid, like small toddlers bowling
on
the alleys.
Absolutely brilliant. Other than that, there's not many reasons. One of the reasons he might want to watch Wolves, Bakary Sakho is out for the rest of the season. Dave Edwards is out. Not that he's anywhere near worth watching.
Hennessy actually returning soon?
Hennessy's out for the season. Academy's out for the season.
Is Stephen Ward still playing?
I believe so.
Jack Robinson.
Stephen Hunt played. He came on for a Sacco.
Oh, Frodo.
He set up two goals.
That's one. That's a reason to watch Wolves.
If you're a fan of Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
So, in short, if you have bought an early bird season ticket, because I know there's a lot of people out there who have. Don't worry. We found at least 10 reasons to support Wolverhampton Wanderers.
I've just popping onto the Facebook, there's one more, because I put on earlier, who wants to chat on tonight's podcast or is there a topic they'd like to discuss? We've covered off the majority of them, although one person who I went to university with has asked what the we'd like to discuss the safety of abseiling down a stairwell with a washing line bought from Aldi, which I happened to do one night at university whilst very drunk. It worked.
I saw a gentleman at university once hit himself over the head with a solid wooden rolling pin. Not only did he do that, he then hit himself over that the head with that, then tried to exit out the door and somehow managed to get his head trapped by both slamming the door into it from the one side and hitting the cupboard that was next to the door like that from both sides, and then staggered off to bed.
He's absolutely fine. He should play for Wolves.
University students are actually a great source of humour. this is almost sport related now, but a friend of mine went to university, and in his house, you know, you have a university house when you get to it's second year. You share a house.
Yeah.
They chose this house on the basis that it had a stairlift. A stair lift.
That's classic.
And basically, they came up with a number of drinking games on this stair lift. One of which was, you start at the bottom on the stairs with a beer, you press the button, and you have to down the beer by the time the stair gets to the top. And then when you get to the top, they pass you another beer, and they send you back down, and you have to down the beer before you get to the bottom, and you have to do it. It was like a relay.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So is that how it's sports related? Because it's like a relay.
Yeah.
Okay. The drinking game I would suggest to people, if you want to be slaughtered, is have a shot. Watch match of the day and have a shot every time in an interview the phrase "you know" is said.
The end of the day.
Yeah,
I could do. There is a worse one.
There
is a worse one. No. I know about the Sox Saturday drinking game. Again, basically. Any Wayne Rooney interview, I'd just line up the shots and have an entire table. In fact, probably, you know, one of those sort of garden tables that like is really lengthy and goes on. You have to start on one end and go all the way down. Basically, whenever Wayne Rooney says
or scratch,
you have to have
or when he rubs his stubble, he does that a lot.
He says it before and after and during sentences.
I once knew
to finish off the sentence.
I once knew a guy who, whenever he drank or took drugs, literally every single word he would say would be punctuated by the word fucking. So literally it'd be like, yeah, I'm fucking buzzing, I'm fucking going fucking down the fucking every other word.
Did he ever say I'm fucking fucking?
Yeah, probably. He once shagged a girl with no eyebrows in sorry, just to complete the song.
Oh,
in our basement that had a stream going through it.
That's classy.
And no decoration, it was just like concrete.
You finish that sentence, I actually thought it got to a point very quickly in my head where I thought you were going to say no eyes.
No, she had no eyes. Unfortunately, clearly he didn't at the time.
God.
But yeah, we've wandered off of football, but
ever so
slightly. I think we're coming up to the end, so I think we'll wrap it up because we'll be back again soon. Are we going to be back for Monday?
I may not be back for Monday, but I believe you two will be back for Monday.
Why can't you be here for Monday?
I'm only a part-time guest.
We've agreed on this new three-way dynamic now, Tim.
I have no three-way.
It's like WWF Raw. WWF Raw back in the day. No, I suppose it was WWF.
Yeah. WWF. Doesn't
Raw.
Exist.
It did in the days
it
of the.
It doesn't now.
No, it actually does. It's a.
It's a panda company.
Wildlife fund.
Anyway,
there's a wrestling reference, isn't there? There's a wrestling reference.
Started with the wrestling thing, didn't you? Mm. Anyway, I don't really know what we're going to be back with next week. I haven't thought of it because we've
only got 4 days to think of it.
I know. Yeah. So we had a weird timing on this one. But yeah, I suppose just left to say, if you like what you hear, you can like us on Facebook at the F Factor. Follow us on Twitter at
F_Factor_. Yes.
Listen to us on Podomatic or on iTunes.
Hopefully we'll be featured in the new and
we've got new cover art.
Do we still have the parental guidance?
I believe we will definitely have an explicit warning.
I believe
week.
I did not put the explicit warning on the last one, even though Max went into Swirly Tyrone about Roy Keane. But that was an oversight. So it's goodbye from me, Bruce Wayne. It's goodbye from Max Carnage.
Goodbye.
But You still haven't answered one thing, which was you were demanded to speak in the style of Kim Jong-il. So, Kim Jong-il.
This is a very good point.
Kim Jong-il, you need to say goodbye.
Hambrick, goodbye.
On that note, goodbye, everybody.